98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. It's Shane Doan Tribute Day on the Doug and Wolf Show. Shane Doan's former teammates call in to tell us what number 19 means to them. Dallas Drake.
Here's the game plan. 10 different teammates of Shane Doan calling into the Coulter Automotive Group sports line this morning to highlight their life with Shane Doan. As Doaner's jersey is being retired Sunday night, our coverage starts at 5 o'clock. And right now, we've got Dallas Drake. And Dallas, first of all, thanks. I know this is out of nowhere, and for you to be one of the 10, we appreciate it. Give us a word. Give us one word that you would say this describes Shane Doan.
For me, it would just be probably more than anything else. Just he's just a fabulous teammate. I mean, a guy that would do anything for you on and off the ice. And that in itself is important to me, is the type of guy he was. And I loved how he played the game. He was a fabulous player.
Now, tell us the story. What is Dallas Drake's favorite Shane Doan memory?
You know, I had a feeling you guys would ask me that question, so I've been trying to think about it. There's probably too many things. For me, I appreciated the way Doaner went about his business. I mean, he was a great family man off the ice, and he did so many things away from the rink that people kind of forget about. And then you put the hockey aspect shit into it. And he's a guy that, you know, in maybe a Caesar era a few years back, he would be considered a Hall of Famer in a lot of people's minds. Mm-hmm. He scored, he played hard, you know, he could drop the gloves and beat you up when he wanted to do it. So he was a complete package. He played in a number of different eras of this hockey that we've gone through, from a defensive to an offensive type system game. And, you know, he excelled in every one of those eras. So there's not a lot of guys that can say they've done that.
And the last question, Dallas, is there's a certain listener to the Doug and Wolf Show, pretty hardcore listener. He does this little shindig as head coach of Grand Canyon University. We'll just call him Dan for basketball. Yeah. He is from Traverse City, Michigan. And I have to ask the question, why would any father subject their children to growing up in Traverse City, Michigan?
Yeah, if you've never been to Traverse City, you might want to look it up on the map. So, as far as, I know we get snow, you guys don't get much of that. But as far as being outside in the lakes in the summertime and the golf courses that we're surrounded by here, it's a pretty special place to live in. And, you know, it is a really nice place, and I couldn't be happier to raise my family here.
I knew you would drill me on that because, of course, Marley's listening. That was really cool of you to call in, Dallas. Congratulations on your career, and thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thanks to Dallas for joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group's Sports Line. That's Coulter Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti. Oh, how about that, Bear? Well done. Flash the two, as in we've had two of Shane Doan's teammates so far this morning, Sean Burke and Dallas Drake, on Maloney's mandated Doan Day today, in which Shane Doan's jersey retirement is being celebrated all day today. Our next guest is coming up in about 15 minutes. Jeremy Roenick is coming on to tell us what Shane Doan meant. And then I'm kind of excited to talk to Keith Tkachuk later on. He's scheduled for 9 o'clock this morning. Keith Tkachuk, however, is not coming to the jersey retirement ceremony, which I would consider kind of crappy. Like, come on, this is a huge day. Why wouldn't you come? But he thinks it's more important, I think, to go to this little shindig Sunday night because he has two boys that play and they're playing each other in Ottawa. Like, come on. Isn't Shane Doan more important than your kids?
Oh, man.
I would have done that in a heartbeat, but no, I really wouldn't. You want a piece of my heart? I got to tell you this. This is something that it's not, I don't know if it's going to end. If you can't beat the Cleveland Cavaliers, it's not going to stop. Here's a quote from Devin Booker after the 111-98 loss last night, as the Suns now have lost more games in a row than any other Suns team in their history. And just think about that. This is an expansion team. Okay. Now, granted, it was 51 years ago, but they were an expansion team and they didn't lose 16 straight games. And this is what Book said. You have to change something where we're at the point we're at. We have to hold people accountable. You can't take things personally when a guy calls you out. We need to start not being scared to step on people's toes when something is wrong. There's nothing hardcore about this game to talk about. Cleveland went from their 12th win to their 13th. They were one of the few teams fighting with the Suns to be the worst team in basketball. And now, with the Suns this terrible, you actually have a quote like that. Is he calling out Ayton? Is he calling out Josh Jackson's shot selection? Is he calling out Igor Kokoschkov for just in general not standing up to anything? Who is Devin Booker talking about? And I think we're at the point where, D-Book, I'm not ripping you at all. I don't want you to be silenced in any way. Rudy Carpenter's filling in for Wolf this morning. But I do think the message isn't getting through. And unfortunately, there does come a point in time where I think you just got to go all out, where Devin Booker has got to stand up and say things, maybe even publicly, if he's not being listened to privately. Is that too much? Is that way off?
No, I don't think it's way off. And like we said earlier in the show, I mean, there are so many instances when you hear about these player meetings and these player-only meetings and coaches' meetings and all of this stuff. What it really comes down to for this Suns team right now is they're just not a very good team. And talent-wise, they just don't have enough talent. Mm-hmm. If you look at the way that they've drafted and the way that they scouted and some of the moves that they've made, they just haven't hit outside of Devin Booker on a ton of their acquisitions.
That's very true.
And so, I mean, like we talk about it all the time, both in football, basketball, all of these sports, your coaching staff can be great, your plays can be great, but these games are more about the Jimmys and the Joes and not the X's and the O's. And so, you know, some of these players are going to have to step up. They're going to need to get more than 15, 16 points, you know, out of their bench players. I mean, you look last night at the box score, Devin Booker's 50% shooting, 10 of 20 from the field, but Josh Jackson's 5 of 16. It's just it's hard for these guys. I don't know what they got from DeAndre Ayton last night. I believe they got 13 points from DeAndre Ayton, and it's just he's a guy that should be over 20 points every single night. And mm-hmm. so in my view, this is more of a talent problem. But for Devin Booker, if he's going to get out there and he's done this many of times, mm-hmm. if he's going to be a franchise player, number one, he has to go put himself in front of the media every single night, win, lose, draw, he plays good or bad, and he's got to answer questions. He wants to be that franchise player.
The answer to your Ayton point, 13 points, 9 boards, and 13 points is not even close to enough. Yet, he still shot 55% from the field. He only had 9 shots, and I'm hoping there's two theories there. You want more touches? Go get them. You go to the offensive glass, manhandle people, get your rebounds, and score that way. But the other theory is, as this team's refusal to get a point guard, you maybe that's the key. DeAndre Ayton would be scoring a lot more if he got the ball.
But if DeAndre Ayton was that powerful of a player and he was that big of a presence in the game, there would be nobody else to look for to get the ball to.
Yeah.
And so at some point in time, he's got to he has to make his presence be known. If he's not getting the ball passed to him, he's 7 feet tall. Go rebound the basketball and dunk it.
I'm wondering, I really wish I knew who Booker is calling out, because it's easy for us to assume that it's DeAndre Ayton. But I'm watching Josh Jackson, and it always bothers me. Somebody has put in Josh Jackson's head that he's a massive scorer. And he's not a good shooter. He needs so much more work on his shot, and yet he thinks, I've got to shoot it. And he needs to – it's really simple. After a couple of shots, if it's not going for you, Josh, then you're a driver and a disher. You're no longer a shooter, because shooters shoot themselves out of slumps. You're not a good enough shooter for us to wait for you to shoot your way out of a slump.
Well, and Josh Jackson's points, a lot of those should be coming off of in transition or playing defense and turning the ball over and getting in passing lanes, getting down the obviously down the court and finishing that way. But yeah, Josh Jackson to me is not a spot up shooter. He's not a guy you want running off picks and shooting jump shots.
And to your point, is the first basket of the game for the Suns, Josh Jackson steal, and he went the other way and scored. And I wish we'd had more of that. The second annual Innings Festival is coming to Tempe Beach Park on March 2nd and 3rd. And we've got your chance to win tickets. Just head to the rewards page at arizonasports.com. And you could be there to see Eddie Vedder and Jimmy Eat World and many more. Coming up next, the master of bracketology, Joe Lunardi, stares down Rudy Carpenter's ball club and says, there's a chance. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Our tribute to Shane Doan continues. Jeremy Roenick going to join us as our next guest, former teammate of Shane Doan. Jersey retirement is coming up Sunday. Face-off is at 7 o'clock, but our coverage starts at 5, as we'll bring you everything. Shane Doan coming up here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We have D-backs, we have Suns, we have Coyotes. All those teams this weekend, if you know that they've got a game, listen to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. If you want ASU, that's the one team that will be on ESPN 620 AM. They tip off against Cal coming up at 4 o'clock on Sunday. And yesterday, it was kind of interesting listening to Bickley and Marotta, if you didn't hear it. Joe Lunardi, the king of bracketology, said something interesting when I was Vince who talked about how this is so a team that's just so maddeningly up and down, terribly inconsistent.
I'm not sure I would say they've been maddeningly inconsistent. I think they've been typical for a bubble team, and that's what they are. And I'm not sure that the coattails of the Pac-12 have been good enough or strong enough to lift them above that status this season.
Former ASU quarterback Rudy Carpenter is filling in for Wolf today. Wolf will be back on Tuesday. This is the classic case, in my opinion, and I'm not bashing Joe Lunardi. It's just a fact of life. Sometimes national reporters, national experts are better than those of us locally because they see things away from the people. And sometimes we can get close to the people. While on the other hand, sometimes they just make assumptions because they're far away. To me, that's exactly what that was. Because in order for you to think they weren't maddeningly inconsistent, you have to believe that they have average talent. And that's where I look at it and I say they do not have average talent. This is a team that I believe talent-wise should be around a four seed in the NCAA tournament. And think about what I'm saying just mathematically. There are four regions, so if I'm calling them a four seed, I'm saying they are about the 16th best team. I think they're about the 16th best team talent-wise in college basketball. Yet I am in no way standing on a soapbox and saying they belong in the NCAA tournament, because if you can't beat Princeton at home and you can't beat Washington State at home, I'm not taking that bullet for you and saying you belong in the NCAA tournament. You 100% belong on the bubble, and it's the reason why they're on the bubble is because they're maddeningly inconsistent.
Well, I think Joe Lunardi is right when he says that they're a bubble team.
Yes.
They are a bubble team, but I think you're right when you say that this team, the one thing this team doesn't lack is talent. This team is a young but a very, very talented and explosive basketball team, which is why over the last 2 years, they've beat some of the blue bloods of college basketball like Kansas. They beat them, at home and then on the road. I mean, this team has had some very big wins over the last 2 years, especially in non-conference. But as the season has moved on, they've just fallen apart. So I agree with Joe that they are a bubble team, but I do think this team has been wildly inconsistent really this whole season, and it has been frustrating, and I'm sure it's been very frustrating for a guy like Bobby Hurley who sees this team as probably right. a top 20 team easily if they're playing consistent basketball.
You have to beat Cal. It doesn't matter that you have some really nice what they call quad one wins. If you lose to Cal, you are officially not only off the bubble, but now you have to win the tournament in Vegas for the Pac-12 tournament. Then they go to the Oregon schools, and if they win, I don't think it's crazy to ask them to win out at all. Oregon State's a good ball club, but if you win out, you got three more road wins coming because you would beat U of A. No excuse to lose to U of A if you're a tournament team, even though you are there, but we all know U of A's program is really down now. If they do that, the Pac-12 tournament becomes irrelevant. Then they're in. But anything less than that, I think they've got to get a couple wins at the Pac-12 tournament. I don't think they have to win it, but if they actually lose Sunday, I think they have to win the Pac-12 tournament to get in.
Yeah, I agree with you. And when you look at ASU's schedule, their remaining schedule, I think that's what's the frustrating part for ASU fans is you look at their schedule and you say, on a talent basis, talent-wise, this team should win out. Mm-hmm. And this team should make a run in the Pac-12 tournament. And that's just really not what they've been able to do so far in conference play. But like you said, if they can't beat a winless Pac-12 team, meaning in the conference in Cal this weekend on Sunday, they don't even deserve to make the tournament.
98.7 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Stone, he'll take the shot. He scores! As time expires, the captain has done it.
It's Shane Doan Tribute Day on the Doug and Wolf Show. Shane Doan's former teammates call in to tell us what number 19 means to them.
Jeremy Roenick.
Just to show you what Shane Doan means to this organization, 10 different teammates. We've only got a four-hour show. 10 different teammates said, sure, I'll be glad to call into the Coulter Automotive Group sports line and spend about 3 minutes talking donor. And Jeremy Roenick is up next. JR, good morning. First of all, thanks. I know that this is out of nowhere. But with the jersey retirement coming up on Sunday, one word. If you had to boil it down to one, what's your one-word description of Shane Doan?
Oh, my God. You know what? That's almost impossible because Shane is one of the most amazing men that I've ever played with. You know, I think he's I'm going to say the word caring, because everything that he does with other people in mind and, you know, before himself. He's so unselfish and, you know, he's so pleasant. For a hockey player to be as pleasant as Shane Doan is really unique. So I know I used a couple adjectives, but, you know, the caring and is the one that's going to come right to me. He's just an amazing man.
Jeremy, what makes this the most entertaining is you went with caring and pleasant. Sean Burke went with grumpy.
Listen, he must have caught him on a bad year, because the 5 years, the 6 years that I played with him, I've never seen him grumpy except at referees on the ice when they make bad calls.
Oh,
then the grumpiness comes out big time.
Especially if you're in a Western Conference Finals with the Kings, then you'll really hear it.
I made a joke at his roast on video, saying there's no way that Shane Doan can play hockey in heaven, because he used way too many swear words at the referees, and God's just not going to have that up in heaven. No question.
That's fantastic. Now, favorite memory. I mean, favorite Shane Doan memory. Off ice, on ice, doesn't matter.
You know, I there's not one specific thing that I remember Shane Doan, but I do remember when he was a kid coming in, and you know, he was like that wide-eyed, bushy-tailed kid that just couldn't believe that he was in the locker room, in a professional locker room, with guys like Craig Janney, myself, Teppo Numminen, and he was like, everywhere we went, everything that we did, Shane Doan was right there and just soaking everything in. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. Hey, Shane, you want to do this? Yeah, sure, let's go do this. Hey, Shane, you want to go to dinner here? Yeah, that sounds great. You know, there was never, ever a no with Shane. And I think that's what made him such a special guy, is because he wasn't that cranky guy. Like, I don't know what Berkey's saying, but he was always that guy that was, if you were going by yourself, he would make sure that you weren't going by yourself. I'm in. And that's perfect Shane Doan. I am in. And that's why he was a captain for so many years.
You know, Burke made it clear that he was just giving him a ton of crap. And the reason why is because I'm a goalie, and in every practice, the guy wants to come at me like it's the most important practice goal of all time. And then he said, just wait till you're older, because Sean played with him when he was so young. With you being a guy that, with all your work with NBC and a guy that played on multiple teams, give me a national perspective on Shane Doan as captain. I'm not putting him in the likes of Yzerman and Lemieux and Messier and Gretzky, talent-wise, of course, but for a guy that dealt with more crap than I think any other captain in the history of hockey, with the Coyotes up-and-down ownership situation, I think he's so underappreciated nationally. Am I right?
He is, because obviously Arizona being a non-traditional market and not making the playoffs, they're not going to get as much attention. But you know, another adjective, you talk about a word that can talk about Shane Doan, and this is how he's viewed all over the National Hockey League. I mean, from every single person that has met him, knows him, or has watched him, that is associated with the game, is loyalty. Mm. You know, he is loyal to the team. He's loyal to the city, regardless of where they go, how successful they are, because he is so committed to, you know, to trying to make it better and to give back to the community that, you know, that has supported him for so long. So that loyalty is definitely far-reaching all across the United States and Canada for Shane Doan.
Jeremy, thanks for your time. Plug yourself. When's the next NBC broadcast you got?
I'm heading down to Philly right now. I'm jumping on the train. Tomorrow we got Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and the Stadium Series outdoor at the Lincoln Financial Field. It's a big game for both Penguins and the Flyers, but it's also a lot of fun for everybody to see the outdoor games on NBC. So 8 o'clock Eastern time tomorrow.
Hey, have a good broadcast. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Go Shane Doan. Love it.
Absolutely. There's Jeremy Roenick joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. You can go to Coulter Cadillac, Coulter Buick, Coulter GMC, Coulter Nissan, and Coulter Infinity for your next new or pre-owned car. Okay, how about this? With all of the drama, he just mentioned Pittsburgh. With all of the drama that's going on in Pittsburgh, there's a new idea that actually links the Cardinals to Antonio Brown to a quarterback in the first round. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Up next, our second Winnipeg teammate of Shane Doan. Chris King's going to join us in about 15 minutes. If you just tuned in and don't know what's going on, Maloney, the producer of the Doug and Wolf Show and the hardcore Coyotes fan in the building, has put together 10 different teammates of Shane Doan to call in this morning on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line and just basically answer a couple questions and tell us about what Shane Doan meant to them and who the guy is. Because we celebrated with Shane Doan on February 19th. Now we're celebrating with everybody else. And our coverage, the only radio home where you can get the ceremony if you're not able to get there. There are tickets, by the way, still available if you want to go Sunday night. Puck drops at 7. Pre-game ceremonies for Shane Doan start at 5 o'clock. And as long as the D-backs game is over, we're going to carry those for you right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
So only 10? Only 10 former teammates? I mean, come on. Somebody's slacking and taking Friday off. My goodness.
It was 11. But right now we're having trouble with one because they're blaming snow and their plane. What kind of excuse is that?
Come on.
Just because the plane is taking off late.
Hashtag no days off.
Tell me if I can sell you on this one. This is Bill Barnwell, ESPN. One of those articles where you just, okay, this is what would improve this team. This is what would improve this team. The typical off-season article is you're getting ready for the new league year. The combine actually starts in the middle of next week. The new league year then is about 3 or 4 weeks from that. It's Wednesday, March 13th. So you got a while. But this is Bill Barnwell's selection. You know the Steelers are going to trade Antonio Brown. Right. I shouldn't say you know, but all of us assume that.
Let me guess. The Cardinals need a new offensive line. The Cardinals need 3 new receivers. Yep. They could use some run-stuffing defensive tackles, another edge rusher, and a corner. Go ahead, Doug.
And I'm going to give you this because there was a mini little discussion between Rudy Carpenter, who's filling in for Wolf yesterday, and Paul. So we've searched for this.
Right.
Just to set you up. Here you go. Antonio Brown to the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, no.
And guess for what price? A mid-round pick. Something like a fourth-round pick for Antonio Brown. And Josh Rosen.
Okay, I mean, one more time. And a third. That's the triple buzzer.
The idea is, you know, Roethlisberger's not getting any younger. Why not have Josh Rosen learn under Ben Roethlisberger, take away the distraction that is Antonio Brown, and Antonio Brown comes here and gets passes from Kyler Murray. Rudy, go.
Look, I have no idea what decisions or what moves are good or bad moves. But I do know if I'm the Arizona Cardinals, I've been saying this all year long, if I'm the Arizona Cardinals, I'm at least going to investigate or take serious every single possible option that's out there. Look, I'm still in the camp that Josh Rosen can be a franchise quarterback and can be a productive player in this league and can be the long-term answer for the Arizona Cardinals. I do believe that Antonio Brown being a part of the Cardinals organization would tremendously help Josh Rosen and would give them the ability to strike down the field and to create more explosive plays. I think Kyler Murray is a good player. I just don't know if I would trade Josh Rosen for Antonio Brown. But if I am the Arizona Cardinals, I'm going to look at every option out there.
So if you trade Josh Rosen, the word is that the cap hit is significant. It's $10 million or so in dead money. Then you're going to take on Antonio Brown at more than $20 million per year, and you're going to take over that contract. Not to mention he wants to renegotiate his contract, and he wants Mondo guaranteed money.
Yeah.
I just don't see where the caponomics of this even comes close to making sense beyond just the player evaluation. You're giving away a future franchise quarterback for a 31-year-old receiver who's not even in the top echelon anymore. If you talk to people and you listen to people who are watching the film, last season did he have 15 touchdowns? Yes, but he didn't have the same skill set that he's had in the past. He's starting to deteriorate, and guess what? History will show that at some point he's going to fall off that cliff. So you're going to go ahead and trade for that guy when Rosen might spend the next decade as a legitimate starting quarterback in the NFL? That's a complete non-starter.
Number one, isn't he the only receiver in NFL history to have 100 catches a year for six straight years?
Look, I think Antonio Brown's a great player. I mean, look, he's a 31-year-old receiver. Like Paul said, the history will bear out that he's going to start to decline here probably pretty soon. But players are playing longer. They're staying healthier. So I still think that Antonio Brown is a great football player, and I think he would tremendously help the Arizona Cardinals. I have no idea what the caponomics look like to this. I do know that obviously Antonio Brown's going to want a huge dollar amount. He's going to want a new contract. There are still some people out there who don't think that Josh Rosen is a franchise quarterback. They don't think he's the answer for the Arizona Cardinals. All I'm saying is if I'm the Arizona Cardinals, they were terrible last year. I know everybody loves Bruce Arians. I've made this argument before. They haven't been a great football team in the last three seasons. So if I'm the Arizona Cardinals, I'm looking at every possible option out there and every player out there who may be available.
The Antonio Brown contract, the one thing, you guys aren't wrong when you say he's going to want a new contract. But one thing that you can do is you don't have to, in a sense, do anything different with his contract cap-wise. What you can do and what he would want is you guarantee him all the money. So he's supposed to get 12.5 in this year, 11.5 next year, and 12.5 in 2021. Yet none of that is guaranteed, and that's his big beef. Is he wants that guarantee?
He should have that beef with Drew Rosenhaus's agent, not with
Amen.
Anybody else.
That's the one thing that I can't stand about the NFL players that don't understand the salaries that they are getting. They complain all the time and say it's unfair because this is non-guaranteed money, or I can be cut. But you knew when you signed it, it's all an accounting trip. The players should know this. You're getting a signing bonus that's a ton of money. And then it's in exchange for you getting all of this upfront money. They're putting years on the back end of your contract with fake numbers. It doesn't matter what right. they are, because the point is we need to be able to spread out the cap hit of us giving you this signing bonus. And too many of them complain, wait, I still have $40 million left on my contract and you cut me. Why didn't you complain when you got the signing bonus then? That was the whole point.
So you're investing in the player, but you're also investing in the personality. And I'll be kind and call him volatile. Why would you go ahead and invest? It'd be like investing in Bitcoin. It's going to flash and it's going to peak, and then at some point, it's just going to plummet. And you can't count on Antonio Brown. Why would you want to throw that grenade into your locker room and pull the pin on that guy? It's one thing if you're going to invest in Larry Fitzgerald and guarantee a ton of money. Guess what? Larry has a stable personality, and mm-hmm. he's a positive influence on all levels of an organization. Antonio Brown is just the opposite. Why would a team be interested in that?
I totally support the idea of not getting Antonio Brown because he is a head case. I totally support anybody who says don't give up on Josh Rosen just yet, because there are so many needs for the Cardinals right now. The best case scenario is to fill more needs and hope that solves Josh Rosen. But I admit, Paul, the one thing I'm not on board with you is the talk of Josh Rosen is a franchise quarterback. I think that there were enough problems where it's okay to say Josh will figure it out. But the other thing is Josh Rosen still didn't do enough, in my opinion. When you're the worst quarterback in the NFL, it can't all be everybody else's fault. And statistically, he was the worst quarterback in the NFL,
hey, Paul,
except when we talk about Sam Bradford and some of the other ones.
Do you consider Big Ben Roethlisberger a head case?
A head case, no, not
the guy's
that strong.
Had issues, and
no.
Many people don't think he's a good teammate.
That's an important question.
Head case, no. High maintenance, yes.
Do you consider Aaron Rodgers a head case?
High maintenance, yes. Ego, yes.
So what's the difference to Antonio Brown?
They're dependable. They're reliable. They're not going to.
You just said Antonio Brown had 15 touchdown catches in a down year.
Right.
It's pretty reliable to me.
But wait a minute. Wasn't this the guy who didn't show up at the end of the season? That's what I mean. The guy didn't show up for practice and or a game at the very end of the season when you're in a playoff push. Big Ben or Aaron Rodgers has never come close to being that sort of problem.
Big Ben's been suspended.
That's where I've said Antonio Brown has entered that realm. As they talk in my ear, and I totally lost my train of thought there. Here's my thing, though, and I'm with you, Doug. And I've detailed this. Josh Rosen's lack of accuracy is a concern to me, not just when he was getting hit, mm-hmm. but in a clean pocket at times.
Amen.
He was missing
Absolutely.
Receivers. And the receivers where he did make completions, he didn't hit them in stride. Mm-hmm. There weren't a lot of yards after catch. That is a concern. If the Cardinals' talent evaluators are looking at that, and then they're looking at Kyler Murray, and they're seeing the future of football and Kyler Murray, that wouldn't be a complete shock to me. But this trade scenario, no thanks.
Coming up next... Somebody that was actually a Winnipeg Jet teammate of Shane Doan can tell us what he means to the game. Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Doan, he'll take the shot. He scores! As time expires, the captain has done it.
It's Shane Doan Tribute Day on the Doug and Wolf Show. Shane Doan's former teammates call in to tell us what number 19 means to them. Chris King.
Pretty cool today. 10 different people that Maloney got in touch with said, yeah, sure, I'll come on to talk about Shane Doan. As Shane Doan jersey retirement ceremony gets underway at 5 o'clock on Sunday, you can hear the whole ceremony and then the game against the Jets on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. And right now, one of his Winnipeg and Coyote teammates is joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, Chris King. Chris, good morning. Are you still with the NHL? Do you still get to walk into any NHL arena anytime you want and go to any game?
I do.
Wow,
I do. Why would I do that, though? You're in hockey your whole life. Why would you want to watch hockey?
Yeah, I'm sure you're not going to be able to sell that point. There's zero former hockey players that don't love the game. Chris King is the NHL Senior Vice President of Hockey Operations, and he's joining Doug and Wolf. All right, first question. I know it's tough.
Hey, by the way, yeah. And Shane's new boss.
That's true, because he's in the NHL office, too. So do you have the courage to fire Shane Doan then, Chris?
Well, we haven't had any real reason yet, but
he's
been close on a few occasions. But what I do know is he does answer his phone when it rings that 416 number. So he started off on the right foot, so to speak.
That's impressive. Does his cell phone work when you guys call him? Because it doesn't work
never.
When he calls into the show.
Never, never. That man I'm not quite sure what it is. He says he never pays for a cell phone, but he probably gets the ones that never work.
Probably it. You get what you pay for. We're going to force you into the toughest question ever. One word.
No, we're gonna
one
start
word.
That way, are we?
One yeah. word to describe Shane Doan.
I just spectacular. I mean, and I'd love to get on here and rip the guy, but I had the pleasure of seeing him walk through that back door in the Winnipeg Arena for the first time as a young guy, and then play with him for a couple years once in Arizona. Then I went on my way east. He stayed there, of course. We all know what he did, but watching his career as it progressed, and he got entrenched in that community. All that he did. Doner's just a wonderful guy, and I know everybody talks about what he did on the ice and how long he played and the captain that he was, but I look at Shane as a guy, his senior, and admire him, if that makes any sense, for all that he did off the ice and the way he handled things in a tough market and the way he handled the media, the way he handled his players, made everybody around him better, and the way he kind of just took that community and made it his own. So spectacular is about as quirky as I can get, but he's a wonderful guy and a guy I really, really admire.
So you didn't look at Shane Doan rookie and say, that guy's going to play 21 years and be one of the greatest captains of all time?
Well, I said this guy's going to be real good, because he walked into our room, a big slow moving kind of, and I can go at him. Dopey kid from out west that right away you knew that he was going to be okay. He didn't say too much. He just kind of did the right things. He opened his ears and his eyes and learned from some good solid veterans that we had in that room and took all he learned in those early years and obviously put it to good use. And I didn't want to get in his bad side. He was a pretty big, strapping young guy that I think we all saw that he honed in throughout his career. But you knew he was going to be a good one right away, and obviously we were all right.
Other than the first time he walked in, last question is simple. Tell us a story. What's your favorite Shane Doan memory?
Well, there's plenty that I know we could probably talk off air, you know, that and people will find that hard to believe for a guy that wrote religious quotes on his hockey sticks, and obviously, which I found always funny as a player, that he whacked those sticks across people with verses on them, but that's another story. But, you know, Doner, we had our rookie meal one night, and we had three rookies, and we had Doner doing some things that we probably regret and wouldn't do today, but he handled it very, very well, so to speak. And again, I as a senior person in the hockey league, I'll leave it at that. If we had cell phones at those times, there'd be different conversations about Shane Doan as a young guy than we have it now. We'd be able to prove a few things in those old days, but he wasn't an angel. Let's just say that,
Chris. I could tell you, as a guy that wants to, you know, kind of consider myself a Doner friend, and there's other people in the media that are much better friends with him than I am. He's never talked about rookie hazing. So thanks. Now we know we got another.
Hey, listen, don't get me wrong. It wasn't hazing. It was just a really, really, really good and expensive meal. And Doner wasn't. You know, he likes his dollars. We all know that.
That
was probably one of the most enjoyable things, was watching him pay for his third share of that real big meal, you know. And I think he probably still regrets it and talks about it. I know he's mentioned it a few times.
But, that's fantastic.
You know, you can't take it with you, right?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. That's fantastic. Chris, I know you got to get back to work. Thanks for joining us today. That's nice of you.
Thank you very much. Really, really looking forward to being out there Sunday. Should be a heck of a great day for Doner.
That'll be great. Good to see you. Well, hopefully I'll catch up with you too. That's Chris King joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. That's Coulter Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti. Place to go for your next new or pre-owned car.
Goligoski to Galchenyuk just down the ice. Galchenyuk from the right circle trying to get to the net. Cannot. Now looks inside the right post. He scores! Galchenyuk has won the game in overtime for the Coyotes.
Darcy Kuemper, another great time at goal. Supposedly the backup goalie. The Coyotes, 61 points in 61 games. Three-way tie for the non-existent 9 seed in the playoffs. 1 point back of Minnesota, who won in New York. And the Coyotes, despite losing more what they call man games, meaning times that players should be on the ice and that man misses the game because of injury, than any other team in the NHL, yet somehow in a three-way tie, 1 point out of the playoffs. Their next game is against Winnipeg, the Shane Doan jersey retirement. It is at home, 7 o'clock on the west side. Rudy Carpenter's filling in for Ron Wolfley. Next time you come in, we'll try to get all of your teammates to call in and tell us Rudy Carpenter stories.
I mean, really quick, just talk about Shane Doan. The guy was a top 10 pick. He's a 2006 Olympian, two-time All-Star. He played 1,540 games, 402 goals. Guy had 972 points. You know, I hope people really appreciate this and understand how hard that is to do. I mean, as a young player, when you get into professional sports, you hear all the time from the people who have been there, just like our last guest was talking mm-hmm. about. You almost feel like the goal is to play 10 years. This guy played 21 seasons. It is unbelievable what he was able to accomplish as a major professional athlete.
What's funny about him is he'll tell you 22. because you're right. Statistically, he played 21, but he counts the lockout. He says, I was ready to play. I didn't have anything to do with that. So it's Shane Doan Day coming all day today. If you just tuned in, try to get to ArizonaSports.com if you're a Coyotes fan for all of today's show, because we've had 10 different former teammates call in to want to talk about Shane Doan on top of the great win last night that the Coyotes had in overtime against Vancouver, because whoever won that game was going to be in a slightly better spot. Since it went to overtime, Vancouver did pick up a point as well, and they're only a point behind the Coyotes. Coming up next, we still got your football fix. We're going to get into that, but first, one of Shane Doan's favorite all-time teammates and a former Coyote that almost got the team to a Stanley Cup. Calgary goaltender Mike Smith next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.